Very special guest that many of you have likely watched him on television on the Dr. Oz show. He'll be in Edmonton later this week. He joins us on the program now. Dr. Oz, how you doing?
How are you?
We're doing well. Myself and former NHLer Brian Sutherby, we were joking earlier, Doc, that do you have any advice for former pro athletes who quit and then are just sick of going to the gym and working out and then naturally seem to put on a few LBs?
Since I know quite a few of them, and I played college football, and, you know, I almost was prone to that problem as myself. I got to say, the most important thing about people who like playing sports is to have them keep playing sports. They don't have to play the same old sports. They can play different ones, but right. It's a whole different joy to compete, because what you really want to do is beat somebody. Sports is sort of the excuse, so it's better than playing cards.
Now, Dr. Oz, you, of course, hold a degree from both Harvard and the University of Pennsylvania. You've done numerous research publications on a variety of things. Food's changing all the time. We know the basics, you know, still fruit and vegetables and meat are obviously are good for any diet. And I shouldn't even use that word, because it seems that diet has become almost a negative. How do you stand on the word diet? Should it not be part of us, our vocabulary when it comes to nutrition anymore?
You know, I've struggled with the word diet. I, for a while, thought we should ban it from the show. But people, you know, they know what it's about, and they have different interpretations of it, but they, you know, generally think it's this onerous, sour, and dour destiny of never being able to eat what they want to eat. And you're right. It's really about a lifestyle where you make it easy to do the right thing. That's always been the key, I think, even as an athlete, I think it's the key. If you really want to train right, make it easy to do the right kind of training, and you'll do it the right way. Teams that succeed, make it easy for the right things to happen with whatever motive they have. And too often we think of dieting as restricting your actions. People don't do well with restricting activities. You can't do it for very long. You're much better off saying, you know what, I'm going to automate my life so that every morning I eat the things I know are already good for me. As an example, you know, you can't have donuts for breakfast and lose weight, but you can have a high-protein breakfast that has some sweets in it and lose weight. So you find something that you love that happens to be good for you, rather than eating things that are good for you that you sometimes don't love. Because if it tastes like cardboard, you're not going to eat it for more than a week anyway.
Is there any food that we think is good for us, but maybe really isn't?
Skim milk. Skim dairy in general. Yeah, everyone thinks, what a great deal. You know, I don't have to get the calories. But every study that's ever been done shows that when you drink skim milk or eat skim yogurt, you're going to gain weight. Now, you might say, why is that? How's that possible? It has less calories. The problem is that when you take the fat out of milk, what's left? Sugar. You have it a sugar drink. You might as well have a soda pop. Now, there are some nutrients in skim milk. I'm not going to bash it that hard. But if you have a choice, most people prefer milk with fat in it. And it turns out 2% milk is a very, very good option for most people. They enjoy the taste. It's very satiating. Some of the nutrients in the milk actually tell your fat cells to relax so they can let go of their fat stores. It tends to be very beneficial in a lot of things we like to do, like coffee. Coffee is a good example. Number one source of antioxidants in Canada, coffee. So you actually want to get a little caffeine with coffee, but you don't want too much. If you have milk, whole milk, for example, with coffee, it lasts longer. The caffeine doesn't get sucked into your blood so quickly, so you don't get the high and the low. It has more of a sustained benefit. So if you ask, you know, one of the biggest mistakes we make with our question is misunderstanding dairy.
Dr. Oz joins us. He will be in Edmonton on Thursday. We'll get to that in a sec. Doc, one of the big ones, and I'm sure you've had negative and positive feedback on it, you know, supplements are now a huge thing in our society, and there's a lot of debates on which ones are good and necessarily which ones are bad, you know, the effects of low-calorie sweeteners and such. Is it like anything else that in moderation it's okay, or do you think there are certain supplements that we should be avoiding?
Well, I think the mistakes we've been making with supplements is taking too high of a dose of some of the basic nutrients. So I think most people would believe that if you eat the perfectly healthy diet, that's the best solution. But 99% of us don't, either because we just don't eat the right foods, or the foods that used to have all the nutrients in them a generation ago have been changed because we grow them in a very different way now. An apple has half the nutrients in many ways than it had 50 years ago. So in order to make sure you have the minimum amount that we think that you need to live the best life, the good life, we think you ought to take supplements. But the question is how much. And if you take a dose of vitamin C that's more than you could ever have gotten from food, period, then why would it benefit you? If you have a disease, I get it. But if you're just a normal, healthy old person trying to stay healthier, then you just take the amounts of these supplements you could normally have gotten from food. That has to do with all the basic multivitamins, A, B, C, D, and E. You need a little extra D because in Canada especially you don't get enough sunlight. But, you know, 10, 15 minutes of sun would give you 10,000 units of vitamin D. And most of us in North America are deficient in vitamin D because we don't get anything close to 10, 15 minutes of sunlight every single day of the year.
Dr. Oz joins us. Now, you know, vitamin A, B, C, and D, those ones are basic. The weight loss supplement, now that kind of enters a whole new realm of things. I know a lot of studies suggest that, you know, if people want to lose weight, 80% of that's coming from nutrition, 20% is going to come from exercise. Obviously, you need a little bit of a combination of both. I want to ask you about the, I think it's Garcinia cambogia, one that had a lot of people either agreeing with you or disagreeing with you. Give me your thoughts on that, and maybe for the people that disagreed with you, what makes their disagreement not necessarily correct or incorrect?
Well, one of the problems with the Garcinia cambogia in North America is that a lot of it's fake. If you go to the web right now and try to buy some, you'll almost certainly have a picture of me selling you some, which is, of course, itself fake because I don't sell any products. So they may take a bootleg video of me or somebody else that's notable, slap it on this fake product, then you buy it, you get it, and guess what? It doesn't work because it's sawdust. And then, of course, you get a lot of angry customers. So I completely get that there's a lot of fraud out there, and it's a very easy place to trick people because a lot of these products aren't sold that commonly in stores. They're relatively new, so people fall prey to web scams. And this has been very common in Canada. That stated, there have been clinical trials with Garcinia cambogia showing that there's been weight loss. This is not just for Garcinia. This is also true for other popular weight loss products. But none of these things are magic. These things are designed to be used as a crutch. Most of these trials are done for 3 months, maybe. You lose a pound a week extra for those 3 months, which is not bad. You don't lose 10, 12 pounds. But you got to be, you can't eat kielbasa and sprinkle Garcinia cambogia on. It's not going to work. And they work in different ways, whether it's green coffee bean extract or Yukon syrup or whatever the solutions we're talking about. And once you get past that crutch period, you go back to the basics, which is what you mentioned, primarily food choices, and in particular avoiding the white foods, white rice, white flour, white sugar, white pasta. That stuff puts weight on you immediately. And then make sure you get a little bit of activity. You can break a sweat for an hour a week. That'd be fantastic. And that's how people who are thin stay thin. It's not by taking supplements all day long.
So how can people, Garcinia cambogia, if it's the right stuff, then it can be good for you. How do they know if they're getting the actual proper one?
Well, I've come to the point now that I actually tell people to buy Garcinia cambogia in stores.
Okay.
Stop buying it on the web. There are definitely reputable people selling it on the web. I just can't tell, and you can't either usually. So just go to a regular store. Because listen, you go to a big store, Walmart or Walgreens or Vitamin Shop. You go to one of these stores, they have so much to lose by cheating you. It's not worth it. So they're going to sell you the best product they will get their hands on. And, people actually double check to make sure they don't cheat you because they would sue them. Whereas these fly-by-night companies, no one can catch them. I went out to California to bust a huge scam artist who was selling Garcinia cambogia out there. These guys were, just unrepentant. And when I got there, they ran like rats into the weeds to escape. And I tell you, I got so much positive feedback because I got there. I got to these folks. And guess what? They weren't just stealing my name. They actually were selling a product that had one-tenth of the active ingredient in it. I mean, that's embarrassing. It's to be that unethical, to take people's hard-earned money. And these guys, they had fantastic cars and big yachts. And, they all made on the backs of poor, hardworking folks in Canada and the United States who are being conned by them. So buy them in real stores.
Dr. Oz, most people that are dealing with aches and pains and joint pain know to take ibuprofen or Celebrex, sort of over-the-counter stuff. Are there any specific foods out there, whether good or bad, that can have an effect on joint pain day to day?
Without question, there are a couple that have been a benefit. Omega-3 fats are a great example. These are fish oils. These are the oils that tend to create less of the inflammatory chemicals in the body, more the soothing ones.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll take any inflammation you have and reduce it a little bit. You ought to have more omega-3s in your diet anyway, but it's particularly helpful for joints. I still like chondroitin, by the way, which I know it's a supplement that tends to make the menisci, the cartilages, a little bit juicier, so they can cushion better. But there's a pure foods. One of the best ones are spicy foods, the capsaicins, chili peppers, and you can actually put them directly on areas that are aching you, and they have a benefit as well.
Dr. Oz joins us. He will be in Edmonton on Thursday. He is speaking, of course, at Rexall Place for the Rotary Legacy Project. How'd you come to Edmonton?
Well, you know, I tell you, I've been to Canada many, many times. I was in Toronto 2 weeks ago. I love the fact that Edmonton's rebuilding with its preserving its heritage part of the downtown area. And whenever I get an invitation by a big group and I get to talk to a lot of folks, I always take the opportunity because if I can get you all to understand what the good life's really about, I mean, what you really care about, which has to do with your body, of course, and respecting it, you know, all those folks who are going to be able to join me on Thursday night will learn not just about what's important for their health, but how to tell their friends about it so they can become like little pebbles falling into the pond of Edmonton. I know those ripples hit the shoreline and influence everybody, even the sportive types.
Now, you're recently a grandfather, and so I don't know. Grandfathers are always a little bit different. They're a little bit more relaxed than they were with their own kids usually. But with all the advancements and how the nutrition world has changed, you know, there's so much more processed food available. Are you concerned, you know, this generation of kids now, it will be the first one ever that's more obese than their parents. We've never had that in society.
I'm very concerned about the nutrition. The kids are like the canary in the coal mine, and we are mortgaging their future by not paying attention to these issues. And I think and I'm going to talk a lot about this on Thursday night because although they're seeing the symptoms first, we will all face it. My friends, I need to run. They're forcing me to talk to torture other poor people in other parts of the country. So,
well, Dr. Oz, we appreciate this, and everybody will see you Thursday night down at Rexall Place.
I'm looking forward to it. Take care, my friends. Bye-bye.